May God's grace, His peace, His abundant, rich mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the coming King. Amen. Our text is the Gospel from Luke 1, the Annunciation to Mary. Please join me in prayer as we consider the Word of God today. We pray, Lord, richly bless the teaching, the preaching, the hearing, the learning of Your Word today in Your house. May the Holy Spirit come upon us and grant us faith, understanding, repentance. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Season's greetings, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. As Pastor kind of mentioned to the kids, it's a season when we greet each other a lot. And so the gospel lesson is very fitting. Because here we have in the gospel lesson the greeting of greetings. The greeting from Gabriel to Mary. As we read in the text, Gabriel comes to Mary. Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. We all like to get cards in the mail and give cards and greet each other with peace and joy and happiness, and all that is great to do in the name of Jesus. It all really flows from this greeting right here. The greeting of greetings. And I think we'd all agree it's a little bit different than getting a card in the mail, what Mary experiences here. I want to say four things about Gabriel's Christmas greeting. Not just to Mary. In general, it's to the whole church. It's to you and I. First of all, this greeting, we could say, obviously, is a heavenly greeting. It's a glorious greeting. It's a beautiful greeting. God to announce to Mary that she's going to give birth to the Son of God. God doesn't give her a vision. God doesn't give her a dream. That was God's way often in the Old Testament, a vision, a dream to the prophets. Not here. Nor does God send a prophet to Mary to just tell her, hey, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you. Not just a prophet, a dream, or a vision, but God sends a heavenly being. God sends an angel. And I think we can picture Gabriel as probably like somewhat human, but also shining, a bit brilliant here, a bit glorious, little snapshot of heaven. And God doesn't send any old angel. He sends a top angel, Gabriel, probably one of the archangels, one of the top angels. Wow, a heavenly being comes to greet Mary. This means that the greeting's very important. I'm not going to entrust this to a dream or a vision or just a prophet. I'm going to make sure that they get it right, so I'm going to send my top angel. This also means that God wants to be friends again. God wants to be friends with mankind again. He always wants to be friends. God wants to reconcile. He wants us back in the family. It's been God's plan all along. When do you first have an angel in the Bible? You first have an angel in the Bible way back in Genesis. Adam and Eve have sinned. They now deserve death. They're kicked out of the garden. God and mankind are separated by the wall of sin, distance, separation. And what does God put at the edge of the garden? An angel. An angel is not friendly in this sense. He carries a sword. And the angel to begin in the Bible is a symbol of God's wrath and judgment. You've sinned, get away, stay out, keep your distance. That's the picture of the first angel. But now we have an angel coming to Mary. And the first thing Gabriel says is, don't be afraid. I don't bear a sword. I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to shove you away. Don't be afraid. Don't have to be afraid anymore. God wants to be friends again. I'm here as your friend. God wants to reconcile, and He's going to reconcile in the birth of your Son, whose name is Jesus. You're back in the Garden of Eden. The door is open. Paradise is open. Heaven is open. God wants all people back in, and He'll do it through His Son. And also, by sending a heavenly being, God gives us a snapshot of the future here to Mary and to us. A little picture of the future. You know, Christ is conceived here. The Word of God comes to Mary through the angel, and the Holy Spirit is in that Word, and we would say that Mary gets pregnant through her ears. She hears the Word of God and the Spirit in a miraculous way. The Spirit brings forth the flesh of Jesus in Mary. He's conceived. Wow. And then Jesus is born, Christmas, he lives a perfect life, he dies on the cross, he rises, he ascends, all that's yet to come. And the whole result of all that is what? That we go to heaven. Mary, this is the end result. That you're going to praise God, not just with Gabriel, but with all the angels. In glory, the resurrection of the body. So we have a little preview of the glory to come. We have that at Christmas with the angels proclaiming to the shepherds. We have it at Easter with angels there. A picture, a snapshot. Glory is to come. This is the end result. Heaven. You know, when I was a kindergartner, I think I first watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I was horrified the first time I watched that show. I know I'm big, brave Pastor Busher, but what horrified me in that show? Come on, kids. The abominable snowman. Wasn't he a scary creature? And then he had poor Rudolph and his girlfriend and was kind of twisting them around. And that guy that was going to be the dentist, what was his name? You watch this. The dentist guy was there. And this big, scary, abominable snowman. And, oh, I can't watch it anymore. Of course, it all ends up well. They subdue the abominable snowman. And Rudolph goes off on the sleigh and the red nose. And the presents are delivered. It all ends up well. The second time I watched that show when I was a first grader, I wasn't so scared, I knew the ending. The third time, I laughed at the abominable snowman. Hey, the goofball. He can't harm anybody. Because I knew the end of the story. And God here gives Mary and all of us a little bit of the end of the story. There's going to be reconciliation. You're going to be in heaven. All because of this Jesus who will come. So we laugh at death. Where's your victory, O death? We laugh at sin. Sin, you're forgiven. Can't harm you anymore. You're just a little sting that doesn't even hurt anymore, right? We laugh at the devil. What can you, devil and demons? We're with Jesus. We're saved. We know the end of the story. A heavenly greeting. A card in the mail isn't quite a heavenly greeting usually. It's very nice. It's a happy greeting, we would say. This is all good news. There's no law here at all. This is all gospel, all good news. This is a happy greeting. Wow. The angel continues, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. Shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Good news, good news, good news of the Savior is going to be the King forever, which implies conquering death. How can you reign forever if you don't conquer death? So death is defeated, sin's forgiven, all hell defeated, the King reigning forever. This is a happy, happy, happy greeting. You know what Mary does after this greeting? What's Mary do? Goes home and takes a nap. That was boring, having an angel come visit me. No, she runs off, the Bible says. She hurries off to Elizabeth, her relative, has to tell Elizabeth. And Elizabeth's all excited, you know, she says, "Blessed are you." And then what's John the Baptist do who's inside of Elizabeth? What's he do? Leaps in the womb for joy at the presence of Jesus. And then Mary sings the Magnificat. She sings and sings, "My soul magnifies the Lord," because of this joyous greeting. Two things stand out that make it joyous. You could talk on and on about this. But number one, the word favor. It's used twice. "Hail, O favored one. The Lord has found favor with you, Mary." Why does God favor Mary? Why does God favor Mary? Is she some special creature? Is she sinless? Is she has no sin? She has some special inner quality that you and I don't have? She's just this ideal woman of some kind? No, I'll tell you why she's favored. She's favored because of the presence of the Son of God who is with her and in her. It is through the Son of God, Jesus, taking on human flesh because of the forgiveness, the salvation, the righteousness that comes through Jesus that she's favored. You see, she will do a lot for little baby Jesus. She will nurture little baby Jesus in her womb. But I suggest that Jesus does a whole lot for her as he dwells in her womb. As Jesus dwells in her womb, he grants her forgiveness of sins already. He's already taking away her sin as he's a baby in her womb. Look at that. He's already making her righteous. He's already saving her, and he's a baby in her womb, a little bitty baby. That's the power of our Savior. It's because of him that she's favored. So who here is God's favorite? Be so bold, raise your hand and say, I am God's favorite. Say it with me, I am God's favorite. You guys don't believe it. Say it with me if you believe it. I am God's favorite. We're all in a first place tie, you see. We're all God's favored children because of Jesus. Not because I do a little more than you or you do a little more than me. That's baloney. It's because of Christ and his work that he would live and die and rise, that we all have the grace of God, that we're all favored by God. So we're all in a first place tie. That's good news. That's a happy greeting. To be favored by God. And another thing that stands out here is the fulfillment of God's promise. As he says at the end here, the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there will be no end. This fulfills the prophecy of 2 Samuel that Pastor also read, where God said to David, your kingdom's going to last forever. I'm going to put someone on the throne, David, who's going to be king forever. You're only going to be king for 40 years. You're going to die. Someone's going to come who's going to reign forever. And God is saying here through Gabriel, I'm fulfilling that promise right now. I promised the Messiah back to Adam and Eve and to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through all the prophets, to David and Solomon and all the people of old. And I, right now in you, Mary, I am fulfilling that promise this very day. Don't we like it at Christmas when we get what we expect to get? You know, when someone promises to get you something, or they say they're going to get you something, and you get it, I got what I wanted, wow. And if you don't get what you want, oh no, that's what you got me. I remember when I was a kid, we would go to my grandparents' church on Christmas Eve, and they always had their Sunday school program Christmas Eve. And my cousins were in the program, and we could always go giggle at my cousins who never knew their parts. And they always stumbled around, so we laughed at them on Christmas Eve. But what I remember as a kid was that they always, at the end of church, they always had a brown bag. The elders brought out brown bags of candy for all the kids. Now, I say kids, the elders do that here at First Lutheran. All the kids say I. These are good kids. They want apples and oranges, I think. Yes. Pat, you're not on the elders. I can't pick on you right now. You're on the elders. But they, every year, you could count on it, a brown bag, and then it was an orange. I never liked the orange. I think it's foreshadowing. I'd be in the orange country now, maybe, as a kid. But then there were peanuts and Baby Ruth candy bars and other candies there. I mean, the whole big brown bag was filled up to the top with all sorts of stuff for every single kid. And they did that every year, every year, every year. Just expect it. Oh, that bag of candy's coming again. Wait it. Every year. And I never shared with my brothers either. Every kid got one. No sharing. Every year. And then one year, I think I was probably like in high school at that time. Still got it in high school, you see. They didn't have the brown bag. Where's the brown bag of candy? Where's the brown bag? Must have been budget cuts or something. I don't know. We have them here at First Lutheran too. Disappointed. Where's the brown bag? Well, Grandma, of course, back at home had tons of cookies and candies for us. Just a silly brown bag. Yet you didn't get it, you're disappointed. Are you going to be disappointed next week? You won't get what you want? None of us here are going to be disappointed. I don't care what you get under the tree. You have something up on the tree. His name is Jesus. He lies in a manger. He dies on a cross. We're never disappointed. We get what we want and more so in Jesus. Remember that. And don't complain and don't grumble. You already have Jesus. You eat his body and blood today. You're washed today. What more could you want? Maybe take all that money and go give it to charity. Give it to the missionary. Just a thought. It's a hard greeting, thirdly. This is a difficult greeting. It's a hard greeting. It's very unreasonable. It's very illogical. Doesn't make sense. So Mary asked the question. It's hard for her. How can this be? I'm a virgin. How can I have a baby? That's hard, difficult. How can a virgin have a child? And here's even a harder question of the story. That's easy for God to have a virgin have a child. Here's the really hard question. How in the world does the Almighty God become a baby? How can that be? The God who creates the heavens and the earth. This Almighty, omnipotent God, this omnipresent God. How does he become a little baby inside of a mother's womb? How can that be? Now that's the question. And how in the world can this God die on a cross? God die on a cross and be murdered? How in the world do we have a crucifix in church showing this? How in the world? It makes no sense. It's unreasonable. It's illogical. How can God be so forgiving and loving towards me, a wretched sinner? And so this greeting requires faith. You're not going to understand it with your mind. It calls for faith. Simply to believe the word of God because God's word says so. And that's Mary. The word of God here gives her faith. May it be to me as you have said, I'm the Lord's servant. And so you don't understand how God can forgive you your sins? You don't have to understand. Believe it. He forgives you your sins because he says so. You don't understand that God really loves you or cares for you, one little person on this earth. Believe it. You don't have to understand everything. Just believe it. God loves you. He cares for you. He really does. You're sick. You're in trouble. You're dying. God truly loves you and cares for you because he says so. And he proved it in a manger and on a cross. This hard greeting calls for faith, to believe as a little child. And it also calls for servanthood. This greeting changes Mary's life. Her life now belongs to God, not her own life. Which all her plans with Joseph, they're all put on the side here. Her life belongs to God now. And so she says, I am the Lord's handmaiden. I'm a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. She'll be persecuted. She'll be ridiculed as a young woman pregnant outside of wedlock. She could be stoned for this back in that day. It'll be hard for Mary. And then her son will grow up, and we all know what happened to him. As Simeon said to Mary, a sword's going to pierce your heart too, Mary, as you watch your son and believe in your son. It's like getting a greeting card in the mail, and someone greets you with a card saying, Merry Christmas, peace to you, joy to you and your family this Christmas season. And a little note at the bottom, I demand that you come over to my house and serve me hand and foot. What? What kind of greeting is that? You demand that I come over to your house and serve you hand and foot? What kind of greeting is that? You probably tear it up and throw it away. I'm not going to do that. This is what God demands of Mary. My son's coming, but now I demand your life. Because I'm going to give you my life, you see. As I give you my life helps you to give, for you to give your life back to me. Servanthood, hand and foot and all that we have to God. It's a hard greeting. Requires everything of you and I. And finally, this is a greeting for the humble. It's a greeting for the humble of heart. If you're proud today, you're egotistical, you're self-righteous, I'm so good, Pastor, I'm so wonderful, God's lucky to have me, and so is everybody else, and this greeting's not for you. Because if you're so proud and self-righteous, you don't think you need a Savior, so you don't want to listen to it. And you sure don't think you need the Holy Spirit to give you faith because you believe in yourself. I believe in myself. I don't need the Holy Spirit to give me anything. And that's too bad for you if that's your heart. This is a greeting for the humble in heart, like Mary, who are poor in spirit, contrite, who recognize their sin and their need for a Savior and the Holy Spirit to give faith in that Savior. You know, Time magazine announced their Person of the Year. Do you know who their Person of the Year was? The protester. All the protesters of the Middle East that created revolutions. The protester. I pray you're not a protester. There's a time to protest. Martin Luther did that, but may we not be protesters. Fighting for our freedom, demanding our freedom. What we are, dear friends, this is what we are. This is Mary's example. We are beggars. We are beggars. We can't demand anything. God only owes us hell. So we get on our hands and our knees before a manger and we beg, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. Say it with me, the Kyrie. Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. We're all beggars in this church. And that's Mary, a broken and contrite heart who receives the greeting in faith. The greatest greeting you'll ever get right here. A heavenly greeting, a happy greeting, a hard greeting, a greeting for the humble in heart. May we come to Christmas with humble, contrite hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the